The Treachery of Morgan. Armed with the magical sword Excalibur, King Arthur drove many invaders and evil knights out of England. But he had one enemy, more deadly than all the rest. Not an invading king or a murderous knight, but his own beautiful half-sister, Morgan le Fay. Morgan was a sorceress, and her black magic was every bit as strong as the good magic of Merlin the Magician. She hated Arthur for fighting evil, and she hated Excalibur, the sword which made Arthur strong in battle and whose scabbard protected him from injury. One day, Arthur was riding out from Camelot with one of the knights of the Round Table, a Frenchman called Sir Accalon. "I shall show you the place where I received Excalibur from the Lady of the Lake," said Arthur, as their horses threaded their way down a tangled path to the shores of a lake. "But is this the same place?" Arthur wondered, for the lake seemed strangely different. Moored at the end of a crumbling jetty lay a huge black ship. A veiled woman stood on the bow, beckoning to them through the lakeside mists, as if to say, "Welcome, come aboard." Surprised and intrigued, the two men boarded the ship, and there they found a banquet waiting. "Were you expecting us?" asked Arthur, as the woman ushered them to the table. "Where are your crew? Where have you sailed from?" But their hostess neither spoke nor lifted her veil. Instead, she poured wine for them and filled their plates with the most delicious food. Two hammocks hung at the end of the cabin, and after Accalon and Arthur had eaten, all they wanted was to climb into them and rest. The boat rocked. The hammock swung. Both knights were asleep before the lakeside birds stopped singing. When the morning sun shone in his face, Sir Accalon yawned and opened his eyes. He was lying in a walled garden, and a servant was offering him a sword.
"Get up at once, Sir Accalon. King Arthur bids you fight the evil white knight who is waiting in the great hall."
Sir Accalon shook his head sleepily.
"Look," cried the servant urgently. "He has sent me to you with his magic sword, Excalibur. With this, you'll destroy the white knight in a twinkling."
I'll put my armor on," said Sir Accalon. "Tell the white knight I shall fight him within the hour."
Meanwhile, Arthur woke up and found himself not on the ship, nor in the walled garden, but chained up in a dungeon. A woman's voice shouted through the door,
"Get up! Get up, Arthur, so-called king! To win your freedom, you must fight the Red Knight who's waiting in the great hall."
Arthur's hand went to his side. He sighed with relief. "Thank goodness. Whoever locked me up here has left me my magic sword, Excalibur." He called out,
"Very well. If I must fight, I shall."
Within the hour, King Arthur had put on armor and climbed the stone stairs of the strange castle. His face was hidden by the visor of his helmet. So, too, was his opponent's face hidden as they met in the great hall. How could he know that the Red Knight was really Sir Accalon? And how could Sir Accalon know that the White Knight was his friend and king? Only Morgan le Fay, who had provided the meal aboard the black ship, knew that the true Excalibur hung at Accalon's waist, and that the sword by Arthur's side was an imitation without any magic. Around the room were long trestle tables, and the people seated at them watched the fight as if it were a sport to entertain them. With every clash of shields, the crowd gasped. With each swish and slash of swords, they expected to see one knight fall dead. Tables were overturned. Wine spilled onto the floor. In Sir Accalon's hand, Excalibur tore open Arthur's armor as if it were paper. Arthur's useless sword glanced off Accolon's armor.
My magic has left me,
cried Arthur.
This is not Excalibur. I cannot fight and I am not protected from hurt. This red knight has my sword and is killing me with it.
As he prepared to face death at the hands of the strange red knight, something caught Arthur's eye. Out onto the minstrel's gallery stepped an old man, tall and gray-haired. It was Merlin the magician. Merlin raised his gnarled old hand, knotted with purple veins. Suddenly, Sir Accolon's sword snaked and twisted out of his grip. Arthur sprang forward, seized the sword, and lunged. As Accolon fell, Arthur pulled off his helmet.
No! Accolon, my friend! Who has done this?
He whispered.
Who has made me fight one of my own knights?
Then, clutching his beloved sword, he fell to the ground, weakened by his many wounds. Merlin took Arthur to a convent where the nuns nursed him day and night. But so many were his wounds that they could not have saved his life but for Excalibur. In his right hand he held the sword by its jeweled hilt, and in his left he held the scabbard whose healing magic, little by little, made him well. You must have complete rest and quiet, said Merlin as he left the convent. Let no one visit him. The nuns promised they would not. But when a beautiful and gentle-looking woman called one day and begged to visit Arthur, they could see no harm. Please say yes, pleaded the visitor. Arthur is my brother, after all. And so the scheming and envious Morgan le Fay was shown into the bedroom where Arthur lay sleeping. His right hand was closed tight around the sword hilt, but the scabbard had slipped out of his other hand and lay on the pillow. Quickly, Morgan slipped it inside her cloak and hurried away. The sound of her horse galloping away woke Arthur, and he reached out to touch the scabbard which protected him from harm. It was gone.
Stolen, he cried. Somebody saddle me a horse. I must go after the thief.
But your majesty, exclaimed the nuns, no one has been here except your sister, Morgan. Realizing the truth, Arthur rode after his treacherous sister, vowing to kill her for the evil trick she had played on him and on Accolon. His horse was fast, and he gained on Morgan with every mile. She left the cart track and rode to the edge of a swampy lake. Taking the scabbard from under her cloak, she flung it into the oozing mud, where it sank out of sight. Never again shall my brother be protected from his injuries. And all the beauty went out of her face forever. Closer and closer came Arthur, but Morgan the sorceress only swirled her cloak around her head and turned herself and her horse into a white bluff of rock. Arthur glanced at it as he rode past, but galloped on. And when, after many days, he had not found his sister, he rode home sadly to Camelot. But he vowed revenge, and swore that one day he would overcome the evil magic of Morgan le Fay.